This morning's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and it can be found on page 978 in the church Bibles. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As I start this morning, can I just say there's nothing special about me because I'm doing the next three Sunday preaching. It's just that with ministry, I'm away an awful lot of the year, and August is a relatively quiet month for me, so it gives me the opportunity to give something back to church life in this way. And just like everyone else, I need God's help, so why don't we pray? Father God, please help me to teach your word faithfully and truthfully this morning, and please give all of us ears to hear your word and hearts that are willing to respond, because we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we're thinking about the danger of hypocrisy. Please have your Bibles open in front of you, that would be really helpful. We were on holiday in Tunisia a few years ago, and the shops were full of well-known brands. The problem is, they were all fake goods. The shop that really caught my attention was one that had a big sign over it. Have we got the slides coming up? Have we got a... There we go. I thought this was kind of a, do they call that an oxymoron or something? It's quite amazing, isn't it? The place of the genuine fake. Well, our passage this morning is about the dangers of fake religion. But Jesus wants to address something much more subtle than simply the fake. You see, this section also wants to challenge those of us who are genuinely the real thing, real followers of Jesus. Because so often we can slip into hypocrisy. Do you remember this picture coming up? Perhaps one of the saddest pictures of the last year or so. The Queen at the funeral of Prince Philip. And an incredibly sad experience for many up and down the UK during the time of COVID. Yet at the same time, some who made the rules were enjoying parties. Hypocrisy. And I guess it will be very difficult for the government to lock us down again because of such hypocrisy. As we come to our passage this morning, let's just get the context right. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus starts this passage of teaching that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. If you can imagine, the disciples are gathered around Jesus, but then the crowds are also gathered around as well. Very early on in the Sermon on the Mount, we've been reminded that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Salt is very significant, as we discovered earlier in our series, in terms of covenant in the Old Testament. This teaching is primarily here is for God's covenant people. And so the warning this morning about hypocrisy comes to us as believers. Now, this passage does test us on two fronts. First of all, to check that we're genuine followers of Jesus, to make sure that we're not fake. Tragically, there will be thousands and thousands of people who on Judgment Day will be told by Jesus, "I don't know you." People who've gone to church, people who've served. So we need to check that we're not fake. But then secondly, we need to help identify hypocrisy in our life, in my life, as we follow Jesus. We need to check that we are living our true identity in Christ. Because we should want to be for real. And in many senses, this whole chapter in God's Word is about where is your heart? You see, if our heart's right, then the opportunities to be hypocritical, to practice hypocrisy, will diminish. If our heart is right, we'll run after God and we won't be running after treasures on earth. That's to come next week. And if our hearts are after God, we will want to serve Him and give our attention and anxiety about His kingdom, not about day-to-day stuff in our lives. The headline of our passage this morning is right at the start, chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You see, the danger is seeking the praise of people around us. Every time we do that, even in part, we miss out on God's blessing. Sometimes, you know, our insecurities long for us to be thought well of by other people, don't they? We can become people pleasers because maybe we lacked praise when we were growing up. We want people to praise us. But at other times, it can be that we just enjoy being well regarded. Notice the language here. There's a link to Matthew 5, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Which is not the same as Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, true spiritual life will always result in genuine spiritual service. But worldly righteousness will never lead to spiritual life. In fact, playing at earthly righteousness is futile, but according to Jesus, it's also really dangerous. Now, interestingly, one of the root meanings of the Greek word that is translated hypocrite is actually actor. How tragic to be acting a religious life when we can have the reality in Christ. So Jesus wants his followers to do a few checks. That means me, and I've had to live with this all week, and that means you as well. And the passage checks our levels of hypocrisy in three different areas. And here's the first one, the giving hypocrisy. Look at verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Notice this section kicks off with thus, therefore, as a result of. This is the outworking of verse 1. So, if you get earthly acknowledgement from giving, you won't get it from God. Verse 1. If you give God's way in private, you will get a reward from God. Verse 4. Now, if you go back to the times of Jesus, giving to the needy was an extremely important part of Jewish life. The Old Testament commanded that people gave to the poor. And in fact, as we read the prophets, we see that God has a heart and a compassion for the needy and for the poor. And so it was expected that people would give of their resources within their community to others. Sometimes in Jerusalem, there were trumpets blown. And the trumpet sound, what it meant was there's a need, there's a requirement. Can you imagine the scene? Some people would jump up straight away and they would hurry down to the temple. They wouldn't go the direct route. They'd take a little detour down the busy streets so people could see exactly where they were going and what they were doing. They wanted everyone to know that they were responding. Or go to a slightly different scene. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is watching people bring their money into the temple. He sees the rich people coming in and they've got their big bags and they tip it with loads of clonking as the coins fall into the box. And then the widow comes with just her couple of pennies. See, giving to the temple, giving to the poor, the same principle applies. It's like a showpiece. Many would come at the busiest time of day so that everyone would see them tipping their money into the box. Very few would come before dawn, or very few would come later on in the evening. Now, there are two types of hypocrite at work here. First of all, there's the one who pretends he's doing good but has got an evil heart. He's puffed up with his own importance. He's got a spirit of self-righteousness. His actions are deliberately full of hypocrisy, although perhaps hardened by it. He's like the man Jesus describes in Matthew 5, verse 20. A righteousness that is just an act, not real, and will never please God because it's fake. The second is much more subtle. He's the man in Matthew 6, verse 2, who's talked himself into his actions. He really does care for the needy. The needy will value him. He gives to the needy because he genuinely thinks it's the right thing to do. Most of the onlookers will value and appreciate such generosity. But as he gives, he starts to feel really good about the fact that he's giving. And it's been noticed. And his heartfelt desire to do the right thing before God has been hijacked. Listen to Jesus' answer in verse 3. But when you give to the needy, Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is using here a big picture metaphor to make a point. I mean, it's really difficult, isn't it, to do something with your right hand and your left hand not know anything about it and not be coordinated. That's exactly the point. We must make every effort to have right hearts before God. Our actions of faith must be driven by a desire to honour God and not us. Sometimes I feel I want God to have all the glory, but God, if I can just hold on to your coattails and get just a little bit for me, and that's wrong. Secondly, this morning, praying hypocrisy. Look at verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, my first reaction when I read that is how crazy. How crazy it is to go and pray on a street corner so that you'll be seen by everyone else. Yet, if I'm honest this morning, this is where the teaching of Jesus gets really tough. It gets tough for me. When I pray in a prayer meeting, in my home group, am I really praying to God 100%? Or is there just a little bit of concern that I will pray eloquently so people will say a hearty amen? Am I praying to gain the praise of people around me just as a little part? Do I want to use really good theological language just to show how well taught I am? Or do I use religious language? Is praying just a string of cliches and tired old phrases? I'm not talking about the unbelieving, hypocritical fakes now. They're in it to win it. We're talking about those of us who really love Jesus. Those of us who turn up at the monthly prayer meeting. Those of us who turn up at home group and pray. How easy it is for us to lose the plot. Anyone who prays in a church prayer meeting can be guilty sometimes of not having the right motives. And I include myself in that. You see, the danger is that it's subtle. How do we guard against it? How do we ensure that the next church prayer meeting isn't total silence because everyone's frightened to pray, just in case people get the wrong idea about it? Well, let me encourage you, because Jesus gives us four things that we can take to heart. First of all, take the secret test. Look in verse 6a. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret. So I want to ask us, is our prayer life, private prayer life, away from everybody else as good as our public praying life? Take the test. Do I pray seriously when I'm on my own with God? That will tell us an awful lot. So if we want to get our praying right in prayer meetings, we need to get the prayer life right too in private. Secondly, consider the reward. At the end of verse 6, we're told that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You know, sometimes I wonder if our prayers are not answered because we pray amiss. If I'm praying for the benefit of other people, even just a little bit, then I'm not praying 100% to God. So should it be any surprise that sometimes my prayers aren't answered? And if I'm not praying for God's glory, then maybe I shouldn't be surprised when he doesn't answer my prayers. So consider the real reward. Thirdly, pray simply and, dare I say it, short. Verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Can I encourage all of us to just pray from our hearts? We don't need a religious language to pray. In fact, the teaching of Jesus here tells us very much that praying in our own simple, everyday language with a heart for God will be much more effective than the fancy prayers. And that should be an encouragement for you to come and pray. Just come and pray and be the person that you are and pray from the heart. And we don't need to pray long. God knows what we need, we're told in this passage, so we don't need to babble on for ages. Yes, I know a child will speak to his father and tell him about circumstances, but we don't need to tell everybody else the circumstances too. And sometimes, perhaps we should just aim to pray from our hearts and pray what we think and mean and not dress it up. In fact, Jesus gives us an example prayer, a pattern for praying. We're not going to work our way through that this morning. But why don't you use that pattern to pray when sometimes maybe you struggle to pray? Sometimes I struggle to pray. Sometimes I find it really hard to concentrate when I'm praying, and my mind goes off all over as I pray for something. Take what we call the Lord's Prayer and pray it through line by line. What I also find really helpful is to take a psalm and to pray through the psalm step by step. That is a way of making sure that we are praying genuinely and we're keeping it simple and short and to the point. Number four, test your own heart before you pray. Verses 14 and 15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Before we pray, we should check our motives. Let's ensure that we're not going to pray anything that makes us a hypocrite. So we can't ask God to forgive us unless we're willing to forgive everyone else. After all, God has forgiven me far more than I can ever forgive anybody else. If you think this is tough, it is. Because Jesus wants us to strive to be real, to be genuine, not fake. He wants us to live our lives as a reflection of the work that he has done in us. So I want to say, be encouraged to come to the next church prayer meeting. Be encouraged to join a home group and come and pray. Pray one sentence from the heart for God's glory till we're feeling really brave. Because, do you know, God hears the one sentence just as much as he hears the long, eloquent prayer. And if we ensure our prayers are as real as they can be, isn't that exciting? Because what it means is God will reward. And as we pray genuinely from the heart, we can pray with faith in anticipation that God will answer our prayers. Let's move on quickly to the last point, fasting hypocrisy. Look at verses 16 to 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus assumes his disciples will fast. In the life of the nation of Israel, fasting took place at set times in the calendar. For example, on the Day of Atonement. At other times, there was a period of fasting when there was a national need, emergency, or something like that. But personal fasting took place too. Sometimes it was a time of personal repentance for sin. Other times it was because people were making intercession and requests before God and were fasting alongside that. But as with giving, as with prayer, the genuine nature of the act can so easily be lost. Jesus tells us how the humbling act of fasting can easily become an act of pride. There's certainly no quiet fasting going on here in the passage that Jesus is referring to. It's certainly not between the individual and God. Rather, the stomach rumbles are to be heard by as many people as possible. So the hypocrites, the play actors, make it very evident what's going on. They walk around looking exceptionally glum and downcast because they want everyone to know that they're fasting. I love the expression, they disfigure their faces. They want everyone to know. Conjures up amazing images, doesn't it, of dejected contortions. They clearly go about unkempt, and they've probably got ash on their heads because Jesus' antidote is to anoint your head and wash your face. So you can imagine the scene, can't you? A man deliberately walks down the street, the longest route possible. In fact, he doesn't really need to go out at all. He's just going out so people can see him. He hits the main thoroughfares for maximum effect. And his face, his demeanour, his appearance just shouts at everybody, look at me, I'm fasting. Now, we wouldn't do anything like that, would we? We wouldn't be deliberately setting out to make others think well of us. But we can do that in a smaller way without even realising it. Anything that helps us get noticed. Can we just widen this as we kind of move towards the end? Can we just widen this to our service for God in church life? All of us who belong to the church family are called to serve our church because through our church we serve Christ. Is our service to the glory of God? Is our service to honour the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have a quiet area of service in church life, largely unseen by people, then your reward is in heaven. And be encouraged in that quiet service, knowing that the rewards are stacking up. If you have more of a public role, be doubly careful, because it's harder to gain that reward in heaven. See, what Jesus demands from all of us is genuine, heartfelt service in his church. Real righteousness that comes from the heart. But the warning of this section is to ensure that we're striving for genuine righteousness. Genuine righteousness should never be confused with religious play acting. Don Carson says this, the negatives of these verses are actually an important way of getting to the supreme positive, namely transparent righteousness. I think as a country we're tired of hypocrisy. Politics, without getting remotely party political, have taken us into the gutter. We long for something that is genuine and real. Let's make sure that we're not taken in by the spirit of the age. And let's make sure that our service for Christ is genuinely from the heart and it is done for his glory, not for our self-esteem. So can I leave us with this challenge this morning? And it comes to me, whatever you do for God, do a double check and ensure that it's really being done for God and nothing else. After that, dare I pray to close? Well, I will do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is completely true. Thank you that Jesus spoke to the heart. Help us to take your word into our hearts, that we would be those followers of Jesus who walk worthy for the calling that we have received. Help us with humility to put your word into practice in our lives, we pray, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.